Welcome to Uncomfortable, where real conversation meets unwavering faith. Hosted by Kirk and Vince, this podcast dives into the tough topics, the ones the church often avoids, the ones that make us wrestle with our faith, the ones that challenge us to grow. We're not here to stir up division. Our heart is to encourage, to uplift, and to press into the gospel with boldness. Because growth happens in discomfort. Faith deepens when we're willing to face the hard questions. So let's lean in. Let's explore. Let's learn. Let's walk this journey together. This is Uncomfortable. Ready to shake up the conversation? Let's get started. Welcome back, everybody. My name is Kirk, joined by Vince. And today we're going to talk about a very uncomfortable topic, when forgiveness is hard. And, you know, possibly, did Jesus struggle with forgiveness? Dun, dun, dun.
Ba-da-da-da-da.
You know, Vince, many times we've gone through situations in our life where we have been forced to face the question, will I forgive? And you fill in the blank. You know, it could be a family member, could be a loved one, could be a teacher, a friend, could be someone that's an enemy, someone in the car in the DFW area driving during rush hour.
Oh, hold on. Why are you getting all up on my case now? What's going on?
You know what I'm talking about. You and I both been through the DFW, you know, ringer. And it can be quite interesting at times. But the reality is, for a Christian, one of our central themes, one of our very central principles is that we forgive our neighbor. That we're supposed to forgive people, that we're supposed to love them in spite of what they've done. We're supposed to love our neighbor like we love ourselves. And
you mean I'm not allowed to just go stomping my feet and whining and complaining all the time?
Well, you can, but I'm pretty sure that you'll be corrected. That's been my experience, you know.
It's possible.
The times that I've tried to moan and groan to the Lord's been like, son, really? Really, son? But, you know, you and I were just talking just before we started recording about Charlie Kirk's wife.
Yes.
You know, and how she so publicly proclaimed that she forgave the man who took her husband. Mm-hmm. What a powerful and incredible moment. Right. And I would invite our listeners, if you have not heard that clip, go look at it. It's challenging. And I was telling you, Vince, that it reminds me of in the scriptures when I'm reading about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying just before he knows he's about to be taken away. And he's beginning to pray with such fervency, and nobody would be with him. No one would back him up. They kept falling asleep. And he began to sweat profusely to the point of blood. And that, according to medical doctors, that is a point where the human body is under a stress like no other.
Right. And
it's an extreme stress that causes you to begin to sweat blood. So because that was recorded in Scripture, we know that Jesus suffered everything that's common to man, just like it's recorded that he did. And because of that, I honestly feel what we saw in Charlie Kirk's wife was a picture of how Christ looked at his human emotions, being fully God, yet fully man, and said, you know what? I have to face down this lion. I got to face this giant. And I cannot back down. And he had to do the most ultimate thing and look death in the eyes and say, I will not give up. I will not let the love of my life overwhelm me and overcome me. But I will continue to intercede no matter how much it stresses me. And when I saw Charlie Kirk's wife, you know, his widow, stand there with the anguish in her face, but so boldly proclaim, I forgive him.
That's powerful.
It was so powerful. But I can also see how Christ is reflected in that same moment.
Mm-hmm.
How many times do we as Christians need to revisit the fact that forgiveness is at the central core to Christianity?
Well, yeah, I mean, that is what it says. I mean, Jesus taught it. Paul talked about it. It's central in a lot of things. I mean, even, was it John, where's my notes? 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's just us confessing our sins before him. That's not even getting into the fact of forgiving others, right? I mean, if you take that and then you go over to Colossians 3:13, he says, forgive as the Lord forgave you. So if the Lord himself and if John is telling us to confess our sins so that we can be forgiven and be cleansed from all unrighteousness to that same level that Jesus forgives and has forgiven us, he's saying, okay, now I want you to issue that same amount of forgiveness to someone else. Or as we all know this, we've heard the story, you know, how often he asked the Lord, how often do I forgive? And he said, 70 times seven, which those of us who have that thought cross our mind, it's like, well, how many times is that? So I know where it is, can start keeping unforgiveness. And so, I mean, that would be 490 times. The problem is somewhere in there, the Lord starts telling you, you need to forgive. You need to forgive.
Oh, absolutely. There's so that point, just like bitterness. You're saying, that the Lord, he requires us to step outside of our comfort zone, to grow beyond what we believe we can do in our own self, and begin to reach out and say, God, I'm not strong enough, but in you I'm strong. I don't know about you, but there's been seasons of my life where I've been so busy with work and family, and I'd have to go teach, you know, something around ministry related, right? To me, that's the most horrendous thing in the world, to feel unprepared, to walk in and say, God, I don't know what I have to give. I need you. Because it's, to me, it's a fearful moment. It's like, Lord, I do not want to say a word that's out of line with what you would have me to say. I want to be completely where you would have me to be. Yet in those moments when I reach out and say, God, I have to trust you, please work in this so that your work can be done, those are the moments where he tends to show up the best, show up the most. I think it's because that's where we need him the most. Think about it when it comes to healing. How many times do you see people doing massive healings in our country here in the United States? It's not as heard of. You go to the third world countries where people don't have the money or they don't even have access to the doctors like we have here. When you go to the healing services, you see massive amounts of people get healed. They have no option. They have to put their full faith in God if they want to be healed. And we see that God moves. He answers. And I really believe it goes back to that central scripture that says that in your weakness, I'm made strong. Because in that moment, because of our weakness, when we have to rely on him, it's not in our ability, it's not in our strength that that thing was done, but it's only him who can get the glory, the praise, and the honor for what just happened. Because it was impossible to be done without him. So I think sometimes in those moments, in those seasons, we can watch the greatest miracles happen because he moves on our behalf and he gives us the strength that we do not have on our own.
Yeah, it's interesting too, because unforgiveness, a lot of times I've seen people get prayer for healing and things of that nature. And then, you know, a word of wisdom or somebody, you know, will say something and they'll tell somebody, have you forgiven so-and-so or have you forgiven anyone or something like that, whatever it may be. And then they get upset because they're like, I came down here to get prayed for, not for somebody to tell me I need to go forgive somebody. And the thing that's hindering their healing is that unforgiveness. And the thing about unforgiveness is the longer you hold on to it, the more it will fester. And eventually it'll work its way to bitterness. It's funny. I go back to Yoda from Star Wars in one of the originals. And there's a part where he says, anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering, I believe it is. But it's similar with the kingdom. Unforgiveness leads to bitterness. And bitterness can lead to great suffering.
Oh, absolutely.
So when you hold it like that, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You're completely right. I mean, if we allow ourselves to give into hate and anger, it will lead to a greater suffering. It'll lead us into a dark place where God never intended us to be. He wants us to be. It doesn't mean, you know, just let's take a quick step back. It doesn't mean that when you go through a horrendous loss that you don't grieve. You absolutely must grieve. However, God will help you through that grieving process because he doesn't want you to stay there. He wants you to be free from the pain and suffering and heartache. However, in the midst of it, he's going to capitalize on it in a way that will help bring you to the strength you need. He'll help build you up through that moment. He didn't cause the moment, but he'll take advantage of that moment and say, Vince or Kirk or John or Jane has an opportunity in this moment to become the best person that they could be. I'm going to cause them to grow beyond anything they could have done if this situation didn't happen. And he'll use it as a launching or a springboard into your future and into a strength that you never knew you had.
Well, think about it. I mean, for some of us, if we're given the opportunity to make the decision to exact our revenge or our vengeance on someone, if we were given that authority to do so, how many of us would do it?
No kidding. I mean,
Joseph had the ability to do it in the Bible, and he could have went ahead. His brothers basically sent him off to be killed or tortured or whatever. And in the end, they're begging for food, and he's over the entirety of Egypt pretty much. And instead of killing them, now, I mean, he had his little time with them, which, I mean, I don't blame him, but he could have did whatever he wanted with him. He could have threw him in a pit. He could have had them all killed, beaten, tortured, tormented, whatever. But instead, he didn't. He issued forgiveness.
Oh, yeah.
And took care of them, actually. So, I mean, and like you said, seeing the anguish on that young lady's face as she said that, it hit me deep, 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 deep in my soul. I remember praying with my sister. So it's probably several months, maybe even a year, I guess. I don't remember. It was quite some time after we found out my nephew was murdered, her son. And we were praying, and it just came out. And we started praying for them to come to know the Lord. And we forgave them. And I was surprised. I was like, wait, where'd that come from?
Oh, yeah.
So it's powerful, though.
Let's it changes it. Things. You talked about Joseph, right? I'm going to invite you listeners for just a quick moment to put on your thinking cap, kind of like we used to be told by our teachers when we were in grade school. And let's begin to imagine. Let's paint the picture. Jesus is on the cross. He's suffering. He's bleeding. He's having to push himself up on feet that are nailed just so he can breathe. He's in excruciating physical pain. Not only has he had the lashes, but he has a crown of of thorns on his head that's continuously digging into his skull. Every breath is an anguish. And yet, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they've done. Was that effortless, or did that cost him something?
That definitely cost him something.
And that's the thing, that
no doubt.
A lot of times we want to move beyond the cost. We don't want to pay the price. It's not convenient. It's not comfortable. And so we don't want to necessarily step into that uncomfortable realm and forgive somebody when it hurts us or costs us too much, or what we perceive as a price that's unbearable.
It's 100% exactly.
You know, Jesus, even before he was put on the cross, he faced betrayal by Judas. Think about it. He had to forgive Judas, the one that was supposed to be there and be with him, but he betrayed him. That requires surrender, prayer, and divine strength. That could have been one of the things he was praying about right in the garden. He knew that Judas was betraying him, and it probably cut him at the heart. You know, just think about it. Someone you've been pouring into for years, and all of a sudden they betray you. You've lived with them. You've done life with them. You pretty much become like brothers, and it's like they put a knife right in your back. I'm sure that that was a very hard thing that he had to pray through.
Yeah, and I mean, what's worse is not even just a knife in your back. You also, then on top of that, you go and stand right in front of him.
Oh, absolutely.
That,
all right, so Vince, I'm going to ask you this. Why does forgiveness feel so unnatural? Since we're called to do it, why does it feel so unnatural?
Great question. I think a lot of it has to do with the fallen human condition. I mean, it's someone... actually, I mean, we could take it back to even to the law, right? An eye for an eye. Someone does something to you, you respond by doing something back to them of equal measure, right?
Absolutely.
So it's definitely not easy. And part of that fallen nature is also in play there, because it's a case of like, what's the word I'm looking for? It's like, you've made me look like a fool in some cases, depending on what it is that you're trying to forgive somebody for. Maybe you've played me, it makes me look like a fool, or I feel that way, or I feel like I've been taken advantage of. And so in doing that, you now are dealing with not just that, but your pride's been hurt, or your ego, whatever you want to call it. And so you're dealing with that as well. So I think sometimes we struggle with that because we basically have our feelings hurt. You know what I mean?
Mm. That's a dangerous place to be, allowing our feelings to dictate the way we act. I mean, we do it, but it's still dangerous. Think about it. Let's use a little illustration. You're at work. You're the sole provider for your family. And you have a large mortgage. You've got a car. All the insurance, you know, wonderful children, and they're young. You've got to make money so you can pay for the bills, to keep food on the table, that roof over their head. But your boss is a jerk. And he regularly says things that are hurtful, whether he means it that way or not. It could be that you're Southern and he's from New York or New Jersey. And it's not personal. He's just really direct, right? But you take it so personal because you're from the South, and you feel so attacked by the way he has his tone. And I'm kind of talking about that from a personal experience, because when I first met people from the North, being a Southern boy myself, I was thinking to myself, what is wrong? Did I make this person mad? So, you know, I know that this is a real thing with some folks. you know, it took me a while to realize it's not personal. It's just the way they are, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But the reality is it doesn't deny the way you felt. Now, in that scenario, though, are you going to react with your feelings and just respond back to your boss? Or are you going to choke down your feelings, get over it, and do your job so that you make sure you maintain that salary and that job so you can take care of your family?
Well, even that, I mean, it's, I've heard people say it like this. It's valid to have whatever feeling you have, but it's, as a believer, our responsibility is not to be run or owned by our feelings, but to keep them in check, because we're not any longer supposed to be run by the body or by the mind, will, and emotions. We're supposed to be run by the Spirit, because if you've been born again, then you are a new creation, and the dead spirit is now alive and should be leading the charge in your life. Let's
take a practical example, Vince, because just about anyone who's been married 5, 10, 20 years has had to talk about finances with their spouse.
No, never.
And how many people love talking about finances with their partner? At least in the beginning. You know, there's a point where you get over yourself and you're like, okay, we're all good.
That's awkward.
We'll talk about it. But
it's awkward.
It's an awkward conversation, but it's one that's necessary. It has to happen. And the thing is sometimes people take way too long to have hard, awkward conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And it puts strain within the relationship.
Well, because a lot of times one of the two is usually pretty good with money and is more of a saver, and the other one's more of a, woohoo, let's spend. We've got $20. And you've spent that $20 500 times before you got home.
And sometimes there's perceived ideas about the way one is or one the other is, and both parties are wrong about the other.
It's true.
You know, it's, you have preconceived ideas and your ideas are wrong. And sometimes it's the way you were raised, your experiences in life. You know, you and I both have talked about the way we grew up and things that we've had to overcome over the years just because of things that we went through when we were kids. But that doesn't mean that we don't have to get into the thick of it, have those hard conversations, and then when someone says something that we don't like, we forgive them. And just like you just said previously, we don't allow our emotions to dictate our reactions. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes if someone says something sharp, sometimes you want to respond back sharply as well. Sometimes it's very hard to put a bridle on your tongue.
Mm.
But that's the very thing you need to do, you know, to really control your tongue. You know, we have to remember forgiveness doesn't mean you forget. It doesn't mean that you're making excuses or you're denying the pain. It does mean that you're releasing the right to retaliate and you're entrusting justice to God.
Ooh.
So remember, Jesus forgave. It doesn't mean that justice will not be served in the end. If you receive him as Lord and Savior, at that point, your slate is wiped clean. He says his blood wipes away all the sin, all the impurities, and he makes it clean. But if we refuse to receive him as Lord and Savior, that's when that thing is still remembered. It doesn't mean he didn't forgive you, but justice still will happen. God the Father will still sit on the throne and execute justice if we do not receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. You know, it's a daily choice for us to surrender to the Lord in our heart, our mind, and our emotions. You know, sometimes that whole forgiveness thing, it'll keep being like a record on repeat. Because that whole thought, that emotion, that feeling will keep coming up. It'll try to rule and reign over you. But you've got to rule and reign over it. And when you're not strong enough, you have to call out and say, Holy Spirit, give me the strength to get through this season. Holy Spirit, give me what I need to forgive this person. Give me what I need to show love in this moment. Because sometimes you don't have all that you need on your own. And that's where Christ's strength, who lives in you, can empower you to move even beyond yourself. Just like Charlie Kirk's widow. You know, because she had to pull on the strength of the Holy Spirit to forgive that man, especially publicly when she's so fresh within the grieving process, you know. Oh, yeah. But you can see the strength that the Lord is giving her even in those moments. And I'm sure there's moments where she doesn't even feel like she has that strength. But God himself is pouring out the strength and mercy she needs so that she can be the vessel, the carrier of his presence and of his love to all the earth. I really believe that the Lord is going to use that woman in a mighty powerful way.
I agree. I totally agree. You know, I would be kind of remiss if we didn't kind of go over the basic practicals of what it looks like for forgiveness and acknowledge a couple things. First of all, obviously, you got to acknowledge that you are hurt. You can't just sweep it under the rug. No, I'm fine. Nothing happened. You got to acknowledge that it hurt. I like the way some people say, don't minimize a mountain and don't maximize a molehill.
That's right.
Right? Don't minimize the offense. Don't minimize what was done to you. Accept the fact, hey, this happened. It really is whatever it is. Whatever that hurt may be, whether it be a smaller thing or a bigger thing, it is what it is. It happened. The next step that we need to do is we need to choose, again, there's that choice word. We have an action that's required in there. We have to choose to give it to God. And I like the way it was said in the teaching there. It says that forgiveness is both an act of our will mixed, infused with the Spirit of God in it. So it's our responsibility to say, I will forgive, or I do forgive. It's God's responsibility to empower us to continue to walk in that on the regular basis. And then here's a really hard one. And I know I struggled with that for a while with the ones who killed my nephew. Pray for them. The ultimate revenge against someone taking the life of a loved one or offending, hurting you or something like that, is to pray that God gets to them, heals them, sets them free, brings them into salvation. How much more of a black eye to the enemy is that than anything else? And then last, I'd have to say, actually, I'd give two more. Number one, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So it's not our responsibility to do it. One way or another, justice will come. And then the last thing, rinse and repeat as needed. Because forgiveness isn't always just I wake up, I say, oh, I forgive you, and then tomorrow I'm not struggling to release you or hold you back on it because it's still fresh and it still hurts. So you might have to wake up tomorrow and the next day and the next day and rinse and repeat and rinse and repeat.
Absolutely. Until it
takes root in your heart.
Because sometimes things try to become a root of bitterness,
mm-hmm.
a root of heartache. And we have to allow Holy Spirit to get in there and be like the water that's soaking the junk off the pan.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And sometimes it takes a little heat, a little friction to get that junk loose. But that's generally because we're being a little stubborn.
Stubborn?
A little stubborn.
Who gets stubborn? Not me.
I won't deny it because then I know that I'm stubborn sometimes.
Sometimes I'm stubborn a lot.
Yeah. So. All right. A couple of little practical things, guys. One thing you need to do is you got to pray honestly. Admit you're struggling, just like Jesus did in Gethsemane. I'm 100% convinced that he was, sitting in that garden, praying, pleading to the Father, telling him exactly how he felt.
Mm-hmm.
We need to remember the cross. Remember that Jesus forgave in his worst moments, in the moments of his greatest struggles. And then thirdly, we need to choose daily to surrender to ourselves, surrendering our life to the Lord. Because we're not supposed to be living as only people, it says in Colossians that we died with Christ and we're raised again in newness of life. And because we are laid down with him, he takes care of everything. It's been all buried with him in the grave, all that junk. And that's why we are clean and new, because we are raised again in newness of life. So, guys, if you're still hurting, if your heart hurts, if there's something you're going through, I implore you, give it to God. Surrender, even through the pain and heartache, everything that there is, and surrender it to him, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
It's true that.
You know, Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another and tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. So I would encourage you, each one of you, if there's somebody out there that has offended you, they've made fun of you, even if you're a young child, forgive them. Don't allow that root or even a generational curse to be there because you fail to forgive someone.
I'd like to add to that, Kirk, and issue a challenge for this week.
Ooh, come on. I love challenges.
This is probably going to be a painful challenge. If we've ever issued a hard one before, this is going to be it. I challenge you to spend some time with the Lord.
Man, you're telling people.
And I challenge you to.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And I challenge you to try or to seek out who you need to forgive that's hurt you. And I like how my pastor said it this Saturday, because, Kirk, I told you beforehand, this last Saturday we were talking about it at church. Pastor said, who is it that you're closest to that has hurt you deeply? So I challenge you, when you hear that, who do you think of, who comes to mind, and what did they do that you need to walk in forgiveness towards them with? And seek the Lord and ask him to help you to forgive and set them free and set yourself free, so that you don't have that root of bitterness or bondage like Hebrews 12 talks about.
Man, I don't think I could have put a bow on that any better, Vince. Guys, if this episode has touched you, please share it with somebody else. We would also love to hear from you. What has been your biggest struggle with forgiveness? Email us at uncomfortable@mooseministries.org. You can also go to the page, mooseministries.org, and support us there. Guys, thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Stay uncomfortable.